Hi everyone, welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. My name is Tim Edwards and we are in the darkened studio in the centre of Bath when it's sunny outside to talk about PC games because this is what we love doing. We've got a very special podcast today because we've actually got just 45 minutes to an hour to talk purely about Deus Ex Human Revolution because we've had about 3 or 4 copies in the office and most of our team have been playing it pretty heavily. And given that it's probably the most anticipated game of the year, we thought we'd give it fairly special attention. So in the studio today, we've got Graham.
Hello.
Graham is Scottish, recently going to devolve from the UK.
Yeah, apparently.
Own nation.
I'm going to be deported from England.
We have Tom Francis.
Hello.
Master of Stealth.
Yes.
And Rich McCormick, our staff writer.
What do I get as my thing?
If you just, you're the guy.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. The keen and eager Rich McCormick. Yeah. So Deus Ex, the Human Revolution, it's coming out in
August 22nd.
The game's pretty much complete. We've got an interview with the lead art director coming to your podcast feed shortly.
You've probably already heard it.
Or you've probably already heard it because we are doing these things separately and time is malfunctioning. But I guess the first thing to say is a couple of words. Graham, how good is it?
It's very good. And I speak as someone who hasn't played any of the previous games, really.
Okay. Tom, how good is it?
It's amazingly good.
And you
and
speak,
as somebody who's played Deus Ex 1 through over 20 times.
Okay. And Rich, how good is it?
It's really, really good. And I speak as someone who's played the first one probably about 15 times and never the second one.
15, I remember those days.
Okay, so what is it about the first Deus Ex that you love and adore, Tom, that is reflected in Deus Ex Human Revolution?
Basically just the freedom to use a pretty wide set of tools however you like, and even the freedom to just choose what those tools are in the first place. So in Deus Ex 1 it was your guns, gas grenades, multi-tools, lockpicks, gep gun, and then the whole way that all those different things work was more kind of like a simulation than a straight shooter. So the purpose of a gun wasn't always just to kill somebody. It's also useful because it makes loud noise. So there's a bit in the first Deus Ex where I couldn't find a key for a certain door, so I just shot the door. Didn't blow it open, but because there were armed guards inside, they heard the gunshot, all ran out. They had the key to the door, so they opened it for me. Then I killed them. So it's all about using your weapons as tools and also using your tools as tools. And Human Revolution has that, you know, to just the same degree. There's no multi-tools or lockpicks, but there's the hacking system is so much better than Deus Ex 1's. The Deus Ex 1 virtually didn't have a hacking system. You clicked a hack button, and after a progress bar went, you hacked it. The hacking upgrade you could afford from the start of Deus Ex 1 could get you into any terminal in the game, so there was no actual progression there. It wasn't really an RPG element. It was just click this button if you'd like to access everything in the game. And so that's much more developed in Human Revolution. And stealth is just as viable as it was in Deus Ex 1, except that now it's not stupid. I love Deus Ex 1, and part of the reason it was great is that the AI was stupid. But basically, because it goes into third person when you take cover in Deus Ex Human Revolution, the AI doesn't need to be half blind in order for stealth to be a really effective way to get around an environment. Because part of the problem that you have in making a game like this is you need the player to be able to get to have a stealth option.
Yep.
And a room full of armed guards, you know, unless you're fighting just one man in the whole game, stealth is actually almost impossible if you're just playing from a first-person perspective. So they found a way to make that really cool and smart and still be an option at every stage.
Rich?
I should probably preface this by saying just what we have. We've got 10 hours of kind of preview code as opposed to kind of the full game itself, so we've only kind of played the first bit.
So this is one interesting point, actually. It's been... Idos kind of said to us, this is the first 10 hours. How long have you guys kind of been... how long has it taken you to do that first 10 hours?
I've played through the first 10 hours and it took me 21 hours.
Okay. Due to my time machine.
Graham?
I reckon it took me about 15 or 16 hours to get through.
Right.
Took me about 8, but I've done it 5 times.
And... Graham, you're playing it, like, what kind of character are you playing as?
I'm playing as a stealthy hacker guy who can't kill anyone, basically.
Right.
This is,
Rich was actually just prefacing.
Oh, yeah, sorry, preface. Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay.
But no, I like the idea that we go around as well, but, yeah, I suppose I'll leave with me. I'm playing a, sort of similar to Graham in the way that I try and avoid killing people, but I am playing my Adam Jensen, who is someone who loves his augmentations, and whenever anyone asks about his augmentations, just goes, these are brilliant. Like, because quite a few people will say to him, how do you feel about this? It was forced.
He's got robot arms.
Got robot arms and robot other bits as well that you find out throughout the game.
Robot cock.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you don't find that out.
Not yet, anyway. And there's options where you can say, like, I didn't ask for any of this. It was forced on me. I didn't choose this life. And I always pick the ones that say, this is brilliant. I could stab someone without even like raising a real life finger. This is amazing.
Which is awesome, because in the first trailers, like, it really overplay the kind of emo angle where it's just like, I didn't ask for this. You got robot arms, dude. Yeah. Why would you need to? It was implied that you want robot arms.
But even with the kind of the loving the augmentations I'm playing, it's quite a talky person. So there's a conversational org at the beginning that you can go out on at any time. But I got it very early.
So that gives you robo lips.
That gives you robot. Yeah, it talks really fast. People. But it means that you can, when you talk to people, you can like analyze their kind of brainwaves, but also their conversation patterns. So in a conversation with someone, you press Z, which activates pheromones. That then means that when you talk to someone, like they'll say, piece. Yeah, ignore the pheromone part of it.
Hang on a second. You can release pheromones while you talk to people.
Yeah, they're basically.
The jaw has to hang slightly open.
What's that smell?
Like me now, don't you?
It ends up being that you see there's three groups of three little blips. So there's alpha, beta, and omega waves or conversation tactics people use. And then as people say stuff like, oh, I didn't mean to do this, or I'm going to get you if you keep doing this, or, you know, various blustery tactics or genuine threats or people who are scared of stuff, the little bits pop up, little blips. So someone's being quite alpha male-ish and saying, like, oh, you know, I'm just going to beat you up kind of thing. They'll have a lot of blips in their alpha thing, and then that goes away after a while, and you see that, and you have to kind of make a note of that in your own head, obviously not writing down paper or anything. But you make a note and then realise that if that person is very alpha in everything they say or do, you can then appeal to them by saying a thing that will appeal to alphas by kind of saying, oh, aren't you strong? And then they go,
the
like,
conversation options aren't like that.
Yeah, they're not. It's much more kind of in fits, but then you can manipulate them and it becomes, so your words become like weapons and you can end up forcing people into doing things you want by deploying the right weapons in conversations, and it feels like a genuine.
When you talk about this stuff, it sounds like you've lost your mind.
Yeah, well, that's how good it is.
Those conversations that Rich is doing all that in are in the game for everyone, whether you have that org or not. And the difference is basically Rich is able to look at it from a kind of analytical point of view and know what the conversation options mean and what the personality types are. Whereas if you don't have that org, like me and Graham didn't, we just have to basically think about what those conversation options are from a, you know, you've heard what the guy said, you know what you will say in each of these three choices, and so you have to figure out, will this guy respond to that just on your own intuition? So it's like, if you are kind of counterintuitive, if you want to kind of do it all in a very naturalistic way, like, and really get to learn the characters just through the writing, then you probably wouldn't want the social org, because you don't want to look at it in that kind of mathematical way.
But even then with the social org, you don't always have to activate the pheromones anyway. I mean, the conversations, they're not in every single conversation.
It's just a brilliant
catchphrase. I just want to tell you, I'm not even going to use my pheromones.
Yeah, and it ends up being that it's not in every conversation at all. Like, there are a lot of people who, for example, someone who you've already convinced him to do one thing to do with your quest that you get anyway. And then he's also got the key to a safe that if anyone opens a safe, it'll be obvious that it's him that gave you the key and he'll be in trouble. And you can either...
pheromones.
Yeah. And you can, even. But I activated my pheromones and I watched his brainwaves and I thought, it was brilliant sentences. I thought he'd react well to a beta kind of approach. He turns out he didn't. He had a few betas, but he had more alphas in his thing. And I just hadn't read it properly. Said that to him and he was like, I see what you're doing here. I know what you're going to do. You're not getting my key code off me. Don't try that
psychological bullshit. So did you kill
him? No, I didn't in the end.
I talked about saying
I'm non-lethal. Tom will have killed him.
I decided he would respond well to a beating approach.
There you go.
he wouldn't give me the safe code. So I went upstairs to the apartment that he was guarding, picked up a fridge freezer, walked downstairs and just threw it into his face.
That will be the robot arm, the robot pheromones.
I went for strength.
Tom, what kind of character are you playing?
Psychopath.
So I'd already played all five playthroughs.
I'd already played the first mission through on the Xbox at a preview event. So I thought I'd done the stealthy way. Not that it worked out very well for me on a console controller because I'm shit with them. But I thought I would just do this as a pure experimental playthrough and just see what the game will let me get away with. So you land on a roof. There's two SWAT agents there to, you know, brief you. I just shot them both in the head with a revolver. And then... in the next room, the next three SWAT agents are like alert because they've heard the gunshots, but they don't know who did it because they didn't see it happen. So I just kind of like snuck past them, gunned down two of them, then like stabbed the other one with my fist blades. And then,
so these are your mates?
Jensen's here.
In the facility, rescued all the hostages, then shot them all in the head. Just to see if the game could understand that, because you get congratulated for rescuing them in the first place. Yeah. And then I killed them. And so basically I've just been experimenting to see how the game will react to everything I do. And for the most part, I've been extremely impressed with how it just lets me kill anybody. You know, someone offering to sell me some information or something, I can just kill them and take it from their body. A guy sold me a silencer for my pistol, so I shot him in the head. Stole the rest of his stash. With certain like weapons merchants and stuff, they have their stuff locked up in like a safe or a lockbox, so you can't necessarily get it just from their body. But it's pretty incredible the amount of random killing it lets you do, and how the plot sometimes changes depending on who's alive and who's dead.
I'm so glad only PC gamers listen to our podcast and understand that this is not a...
it's an experiment. I'm doing it for science.
Graham, tell me about your character.
Yeah, so I'm playing the stealthy, hacky, non-lethal character. I don't normally role-play when I play games, even when they're RPGs. I'm either normally playing as myself, in which case I'm basically a good character, or I'm just playing as an amoral asshole doing whatever I want. But for some reason, the setup of this character, of Jensen, where at the start of the game he, you know, gets injured and gets these augs forced on him, and then you have a chance to say how you feel about that to other characters, and that informs your decisions. That made me kind of think about who I wanted to be as this guy. And so I decided that I wanted to be, you know, a good person, basically. And so I'm not rich where I'm just saying, yay, robot arms. I'm just, I'm saying I'm reluctant. And like, they're coming in handy because I'm getting to punch guys in the face a lot and stuff like that. Yeah, see what I did there?
Have you punched anyone through a wall yet?
No, because that kills them. I did it once. I spent ages saving up the money by like robbing people and stuff like that, just mugging people to get money and that kind of thing, so that I could afford to buy a praxis point, which is what you use to upgrade your augs, so that I could get the ability to punch through walls.
I don't need your money and your handbag to punch through the wall and kill a man. Right.
But as soon as I did it, it snaps the neck of the guy on the other side, and so I had to reload my save game. I was like, damn it.
What did you spend the money on it instead?
Nothing. I kept the AUG because my save game was after that point. So I've still got the AUG. I'm just not allowed to ever use it.
As a quick
aside, if you get the see-through walls AUG, you can see whether someone's on the other side of it. Because there's someone there's no one there. You just punch down the wall.
Well, I knew there was someone on the other side of it because as soon as I walked up to the wall, the guy on the other side went, what's that? And then started trying to run into the wall, and his gun kind of clipped through it a little bit.
There's a wall that I found. Obviously it was, because there's a big red wire that went through it, and it was obviously a destroyable wall.
Same wall, yeah.
And when I went up to it, I thought, I wonder if I could just throw a grenade at that, because I couldn't be bothered getting the wall punching the orc, because I didn't want to kill anyone, knew it would kill people. Held a grenade out, it's like, this isn't going to work, it's a game, there's no way that they're actually going to thought this through, the wall just disintegrated. The guy was still there, so they're facing the other way. In fact, the wall had gone, was still so impressive. But he was just like, was that a slight explosion? No, it's fine.
It's like, back itches.
But then I was able to to come along behind him and knock him out without killing him. And then in that bit, that's so many amazing orcs. In that bit, I came across, the bit that you went through, it's like an elevator shaft. And I used the points that I did have kind of saved up, thinking about maybe using for the wall punching. I used on the droppy power, which is an ability to drop from any height.
Landing,
and you go into third person, you just get this kind of really nice noise. And you land silently everywhere.
You glow gold in this like not just your body, but there's this kind of haze around you as well, this giant ball of gold fog, and then kind of a crackling force field and lightning coming out of you. And this happens even if you fall from like 10 feet. So you just kind of hop down off a skip and go.
I took to climbing up fire escapes and just jumping off for no real reason. Yeah. Apart from to hear that.
I had a great time breaking into a police station in Detroit, where there's an alternate route that involves going up a fire escape around the back and climbing into a vent at the top of the building. And you have to kind of keep going in and out, and there's loads of other routes. So I was trying to find better ones to get to the certain terminals we needed to get to inside the building. It's really kind of hub like that. Once you get after the first mission, there's all these individual buildings within the city you can go into, and quests take you in between them. But every time I came out of the police station on the very roof of the building, I would jump off it and try and land in the sewer, because I'd also open a manhole for another entrance, so I'd try and jump. I went straight past the street, straight down the sewer with the Icarus thing.
Hey, guys.
Like, all the hobos and stuff should go watching this glowing gold ball go. But you can also you can press attack while you're falling to do a kind of a stun move where you kind of slam down at the ground. and I like says stun, so I'm thinking like people be staggered or something. So I just tried it out in the street, and it just completely KO'd every punk and hobo in the whole street. It's just a bunch of people just lying on the floor, completely prone. Oh.
How long have they said the actual game is? Like, how much of the game have we got here?
24 to 30 hours, I think. I think it's three city hubs, and we've got one. So.
Okay. And yeah. The city hub you're in at the moment is?
Detroit, and the other, there's Shanghai, and I think the last one is Montreal. I know Montreal is in it.
The way that the missions seem to work is that you're in the city hub and you do kind of a side quest in the city hub, and then occasionally you flit out the city hub to go to a mission location.
Right, okay.
But it's just a mission. There's not a hub itself, but it is basically like another level as well.
So it's like, do you get a helicopter to take you out?
Yeah,
to, it's so a helicopter takes you out to a kind of dungeony area. And
I haven't been to any dungeons yet. There was a dungeon in Deus Ex 1, though.
Like a skyscraper or something that you've got to infiltrate. And
I remember actually speaking to Jean-Jacques Balatet, the guy you spoke to, and he said, I asked him kind of how they were going to do that globe-trotting thing they did in Deus Ex 1. He said, we're just going to nick it wholesale. Like, we're just going to have a helicopter that you fly around the world in, because it's a cool thing to do.
Okay. What's your helicopter's pilot name?
It's Farida Malik.
You can't kill her as the resident experimenter. I tased her in the face, I've shot her in the legs, nothing happens. She's the only person I found who is unkillable. There's also two areas where you can't draw weapons, but they're logical enough that I didn't even realize that until the fourth time through. So
at any point,
hey, can I shoot my boss?
A suspicious technician in the helicopter.
No, I don't think there's a bomb. In fact, if you listen to our art director interview, you'll know. No, I mean, there is a bomb in the game, I think, from his answer, but
okay.
I don't think it blows up.
Also, from those answers, we seem to think there might be some greasels in there.
Yeah, I think there were two meaningful silences in that interview.
You've already said that there's a couple of bugs in there at the moment, but I mean, that's, you know, polished time, isn't it? So I'm not too worried about those. Where are you worried about the game? Where are you kind of scared that it's not getting to the right
There's
point?
One, the main issue that I have with it, and it's quite minor, but it's purely from Deus Ex 1, but I want to be able to pick up everything, like everything on a work surface. If someone's got an office, I want to pick up something. What's this? What's this? What's this? You kind of...
Pheromones. You have to tell me what it is now.
A lot of people complained about the highlighting, the item highlighting. I mean, that I turned that off first thing. I was playing it on Deus Ex setting. I turned it off immediately, and it's not even a problem. Like, it's not that I was drawn to the obvious things. It's just that I go along a work surface expecting to be able to pick everything up. And there'd be three or four things one or two things that I could. This for the first couple of hours, it was a bit grating, because I thought I should be able to look at that close up or throw it at that guy's head. Yeah. I couldn't do that, but it went away after a while. Like, you get to the point where there is so much hidden stuff as well. There's so many things. There's a bit of evidence in a room. I'm not going to kind of spoil it for anyone. But of all the guys that played it, I don't think anyone. I mean, the other guys in the office playing on PS3 and Xbox as well. I don't think anyone found the same bit I did. And I did that by just crouching low to the floor and moving left to right along a bookcase until I found out behind a book there was a little data cube like behind them. And that's that kind of. There is that level of detail, but you can't pick up every book. You can't pick up every possible thing.
You couldn't complain there's not enough to pick up, but you could complain that some things look like they should be pickupable and aren't.
Okay.
Becomes something of an issue if you've got the strength orc, because sometimes there'll be a sort of heavy looking thing that you would like to throw at somebody, you know, for actual functional combat reasons that you can't because it's not a certain type of box, but you just learn what you can and can't, and then it becomes.
It's weird because there's that, as I got the dichotomy between most games would never let you do it, so it's probably a bit cheap to whinge about it, but then again, it's a Deus Ex game, and Deus Ex games, you are able to pick up.
Well, Deus Ex kind of got around it by having the same amount of objects as Deus Ex Human Revolution does, but just nothing else in the environment at all. It's all completely blank surfaces.
Tom?
My concern.
Yeah.
It's not out yet.
That's my concern. Actually, ask Graham first, because he's got a good one that is probably my main concern too, but then I can tell you a less important one.
I have a good one.
I'll tell you Graham's.
The one I was thinking, my main concern is just maybe that the next 10 or 20 hours won't be as good as the first 10 hours.
Well, there's one thing that sucks in this build, and that's that it ends with a boss fight.
It's
not good as a boss fight, and also it's just kind of contrary to the nature of Deus Ex, because there isn't a way to avoid it. There isn't a way to kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I'm playing a non-lethal stealth character, and then it puts me in a room with a man who's shooting at me repeatedly, and I can't melee him. I have no choice but to kill him, basically. Yeah. And I can't sneak past him. I can't do anything.
You can stealth in that fight. I discovered after another playthrough where, like, he's when it starts, he's seeing you, but you can get away from him. Yeah. And if you sneak around a bit, then he loses track of you and he just kind of patrols the area. And then there's like caches of ammo and stuff for you to find.
But it feels like, to me, like a kind of a Metal Gear Solid boss fight without the imagination, really. It's kind of, you put in a room with a heavily kind of overpowered psycho and you can't go anywhere apart from in the room. And it's...
There's no like kill switch or...
No, there's no...
No, there's a whole little secret thing going on the level before where you keep being references to this. The terrorists are kind of moving into this temporary facility and they've been given one terminal to use and they're kind of bitching about how they only get one terminal, and the other people saying... You find emails from the people who own the facility saying, don't let them use anything except this one terminal. Then in a quite hidden place, you can find the login for that terminal. And I finally found that and then searched for references to where it was and then searched the facility, found a little map on the wall that labelled where the conference room was, found the conference room, finally logged in and thought, yes, I'll get a kill switch. And it's just some emails. They're interesting emails, but I was really hoping that would be like the secret, you know.
But this is 21 hours that I played and however many hours I've played and in one boss fight. And it was, once it was done... I kind of, it feels like they have to kind of force you into it for some story aspects, but it probably is the weakest technical thing. Mm.
Yeah, there's, it's important to say you can just, we're all playing, I think all of us are playing Deus Ex difficulty, which is, it was where you die in like one or two shots, and so do the enemies. But you can change the difficulty at any time and change it back with no penalty or difference, so you can just switch down to easy for the boss fight, mow him down with whatever you've got, move on, so it's not a big problem.
How is it technically? What's the engine like? Because it's Unreal based, is that right?
It's the same engine as, or it's a modified version of the Tomb Raider Underworld engine.
Okay,
which
so it's not Unreal.
Eidos' own.
I'd say the answer probably for me was, but it's been incredibly smooth. I think, particularly the cover, but moving between cover is obviously it's like Vegas is with a bit more kind of freedom to it.
Yeah, it's exactly like Rainbow Six Vegas where you hold a button to stay in cover, which is usually third person. Thing I was really surprised about is when I played it on console, I was a bit worried about the system because I kept sticking to something I didn't think I was going to stick to. And then you're on the wrong side of it and the camera's moved to show you, so you're not even looking in the right direction. But I'm amazed at how much better it is on mouse and keyboard. Like I've never fucked up basically since then.
It's the ability as well to be able to, cover isn't just behind the walls that are cover walls. You can pick up a big cardboard box and move it to the middle of a hallway at a funny angle, hide behind it. It's not, the game won't let you do things unless you're behind like solid concrete. You can do behind a box because you have to be stealth as well.
It's really cool. You can like pick up a box and then just like move it to where you want to be while the enemies aren't looking, then tuck down behind it again when they look back.
That kind of goes to another point as well. That is, it's sort of a concern, but it's not, it kind of has to be this way. But the AI is, I've had times when they come into a room that I've been in a room with no escape behind a desk and they've come in and seen me, obviously. And they've gone up to the desk, kind of looked over it, and not seen my head, kind of cower behind it, and then gone, oh, well, it's gone home.
It reminds me a little bit of the guys in Splinter Cell where they were just really dumb.
We know your hair, Fisher.
Yeah. But that was fine because...
They kind of have
but
to
we're
be,
not going
to
search that exact corner.
Yeah, otherwise you...
Bye,
you
Fisher.
Dead in the time.
We're back in 30 seconds.
I'll tell you one thing the guards do that I've never seen any guard do before is while they're walking in one direction, they will sometimes turn around and check behind themselves
fucking
while walking
assholes.
Backwards and then turn back again. And you're not used to that from guards. Guards walk in straight lanes and don't look behind themselves without actively, you know, getting to the end of their pattern and turning around.
It's really worth saying that the stealth thing, it starts out just feeling it's intuitive and but quite tough to, if you want to stealth through the first mission, that is a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, very
and later on there's a police station that you're trying to get through, and if you don't do it the talky way, the stealth way is very, very hard. But there's really, really in-depth org path for stealth. So there's not just cloaking, but there's seeing through walls. It's cool. We've seen that before. Then there's a whole org that's just like stealth helpers. So it's like you can see vision cones on your map, so you know exactly where everyone's looking. So if an enemy does turn around on his patrol, you'll see that vision cone swing around. If like an enemy swats a fly on the back of his neck, you'll see his vision cone swing around as he does that. You can expand how far you can see enemies on the map, because by default, you can only see the ones that are really close to you. Then you can see.
It sounds really systemic. Like.
Yeah, you can see how far all the sounds you make travel. So you see, sometimes I would get caught early on and I just didn't realize why the guy turned around. And then when you get the sound org, you realize, oh shit, my footsteps actually travel quite a long way.
I'm really,
concrete.
Really glad for that org as well, because I'm the kind of person that if I play a game and I'm being stealth, I'll crash the entire mission, slow myself down hugely. And then kind of think, oh, I wish there was some way of finding out if I could actually now run in this bit if there's a man around the corner.
And then there's an upgrade where you can tag people so that they'll always be marked on your screen. And then you can upgrade that so you can tag up to like 7 people and keep track of where all of them are all the time. So that's really cool.
If you don't
hold any kind of love for this creeping around shit. What if I just want to shoot people?
Shooting's surprisingly good. I actually...
excuse me.
The first time through, I went for like the revolver and a shotgun. Both of them absolutely awesome. Like the revolver sounds so good. Kills anyone in a headshot. Kills unarmored people in a body shot as well. And even if you shoot an armored person in the chest with a revolver, it just floors them. Like they have to pick themselves back up. And shotgun's really, really meaty. Then you can upgrade it, and that makes it even more like both powerful and sounds
good
as well.
Is there separate weapon orgs for...
It's not orgs, but it's you just buy mods, basically.
Okay.
You can find them, too. In fact, every time I thought something wasn't in the game, I'd talk to Graham or Rich, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, you can get... Rich would tell me, oh, you can buy a silencer from this guy in this flat here. Or Graham would say, oh, if you hack the armory at the police station, you can get the Peps gun. Peps gun is amazing, by the way. It's something for non-lethal characters, and it basically just has a big kind of blast of energy. We saw it in an early trailer where he just kind of walks up to some scientists and kind of knocks them on their ass.
Yeah.
It didn't look all that exciting. It looked kind of cool. But I think they've souped it up since then because now, like, it's a big deal. It's like firing a rocket launcher. It kind of, you can only take one shot in the chamber. It's quite slow to bring up. It's quite slow to reload. And then when you fire it, it kind of goes, and you could just knock back like 7 people across the room, like smashing them into skips and just sending them flying. And then you can run in and like either beat them up or just run past.
It's weird weapon-wise as well, because I was going basically non-lethal. My 2 weapons were the stun gun and the tranquilizer rifle. Then I had 1 pistol as well, just in case. And every weapon org I had, every weapon mod I had, went to that pistol. So by the end of it, I had this pistol I'd never fired. It was like this incredible machine. It had like everything bolted onto it. I was just like, I don't really know what to do with this. I don't think I ever used it. I probably like to shoot kind of... I shot a box once. Shot the fuck out of that box.
The silence pistol is amazing. You put a silence on the pistol and it just sounds so good. It's like, it's not even like a tew noise. It's kind of like a thud. It's like a boom. It's just so
the weapon design as well is just... all the weapons look... So it's a tiny, tiny little thing, but they look really nice. They look like you actually want to hold them and kind of stroke them and map.
They're just the right mix of, like, they have futuristic elements, so you kind of, it doesn't feel like it's just a standard M4 from Call of Duty or something, but they're still, like, meaty and metal, and they're not firing stupid lasers.
As a Deus Ex diehard, I don't know if that's the kind of right term.
DEDs, we prefer.
Yeah. How did you feel when you first started playing it about the transition from New York, gritty, kind of, mostly realistic world to flouncy Renaissance fashion? And
I didn't think the flouncy Renaissance stuff was really that prevalent. I mean, there's bits of it, certainly in the opener when you're with you're in Sarif Industries labs with Megan, your ex-girlfriend, and she's got a huge collar on, flouncy hair, pearls, or like, okay.
And she's
stuff.
Supposed to be a super smart scientist.
And, you know, there's a few other characters that have that kind of thing, like people's ties can have really nice fabric and stuff.
There's a corrupt cop in the police station whose tie is just gorgeous. Couldn't listen to what I was saying. I'm just staring at this amazing, like, kind of really, like, copper-coloured thing with this metallic floral print on it that glints in the light. God, your tie is amazing.
Kill four tie.
Most of the time when you're on the streets of Detroit, the people of Detroit are poor, they're impoverished, and their clothes aren't fancy. They're wearing just regular clothes like anyone else. And there's, like, you know, apartment blocks and stuff like that. So it is grounded in a very kind of gritty urban reality.
Kind of, it's almost used to denote important characters. Like, you know, David Sarraf is a little bit fancy. Your girlfriend's fancy. And there's this news reporter who's obviously going to become a character later on, who's wearing this ridiculous ruff. But 90% of the time you're just on the streets. There is basically like hobos and punks, and then there's like standard kind of business commuters who are basically wearing modern garb that has some slight hints at the Renaissance stuff.
And it does feel like it fits in with the Deus Ex story.
They've done a pretty good job of making it. You don't look at it and think, hey, this doesn't make any sense. This happens before Deus Ex because it's also crazy futuristic. But it is, it's much, much cooler and more efficient and better than mechanical augmentation was supposed to be at the start of Deus Ex. Because, you know, everyone's kind of an old, rotting
punk. Yeah, because they're by Deus Ex, the biotic... It's not biotic, is it? It's
bionic?
Bionic.
Are you talking about
the way the orgs...
The biometric stuff.
So it's basically went from mechanical to nano.
Yeah, that's it.
And there's loads of really clever and cool references to that. Like people always react to the fact that you're augmented. Like some of them think you look cool. Some of them think, wow, you must have a lot of money or something. And some of them are really hostile and like, man, you just wasted all your life on this stupid shit. Because most people are augmented, did it intentionally. But then there's one guy who just says, you know, in like 20 years time, that stuff's just going to be obsolete. And he's dead right.
Cool. I've kind of run out of questions. I guess the kind of the from all of you, just like the best moment you've had with it.
One of the before we talk about that, one of the important things to say is just how ridiculously rich it is. Like me, Graham, Rich, we've been playing it. So is Mike Gapper on Xbox World, and every time we talk about it, we discover something completely new that none of us ever knew. You know, I've played it through 5 times. I'm still finding things that I never saw before in Detroit. It's just got this amazing feel where you walk into a street and there's all these apartment blocks around you, and you can go into every single one of them, explore almost every apartment in every building.
You kind of go into people's flats and...
Yeah, and it's done so nicely so that even if there's an apartment that belongs to a specific character who's in a quest, and most of them do seem to once you've found all the quests, it doesn't stop you going into that if you don't have the quest. Like, I kept discovering all these fascinating places. One of my favourite moments was... broke into a random apartment, and it was a really high security lock on the outside, and got through that. And then inside there didn't seem to be that much, and I was kind of thinking, it's strange that there's not much more reward for kind of getting in here. And then there's this other locked door, and that was too high level for me to hack. And I was just kind of thinking, oh, that's a shame that I can't get in there, because doors have like a little grill at the bottom that you can see through. And inside I could see something flashing. I thought, God, that looks really interesting. I wish I could get in there. And I looked at it again. The way it's flashing kind of reminds me of the lambs in Deus Ex 1, which are the proximity mines, and I thought, you know, if this was completely logical, I'd be able to shoot through this grill because it's just a metal grill, and then I'd be able to shoot the explosive and that would blow off the door. This is never going to work. Fired, and sure enough, just blew the door completely off its hinges, and then I'm inside and I can loot all that stuff. And it turns out that belongs to a really important character in a later quest. There's like 3 different quests that all kind of relate to the guy who lives there, and you get to confront him.
And is it smart enough to my door? Is it smart enough to know that if you've been to these places and you've got the stuff, it'll just kind of say, well, I've already been
here? Yeah, in that case, the mission revolves around finding evidence, so you can't complete it early because you just wouldn't...
No, you don't know
what you're looking at. You're like, there's a weapons case there, but you don't know that that's evidence. But there's one where there's a dude who has a recording that he's using to blackmail somebody who's a friend of yours, so you want to get back from him. And you know it's on him, and he says, look, I want to help you, but I've got these 2 drug dealers after me. If you can take care of them, I'll be happy to give you the recording. First time through, I just punched him in the head and took the recording from him. Second time through, I was fully intended to do the same thing again, because even though I was trying to explore different avenues, I just thought, that is so satisfying, I've got to do that again. And I talked to him, and I just thought, I'll just ask about these drug dealers. And he said, yeah, there's 2 guys hang out by the basketball court, and gives me his names. And then Jensen says, oh, those guys, I already took them out. He's like, what? Why? Oh, they looked at me the wrong way. And there's just 2 people I happened to have randomly killed.
I had one problem with, like, there's 2 groups of gangs, one of which is kind of heavily augmented in a very garish fashion. They've kind of chosen to have these, like, bling augmentations. And they, 2 of them are based in this apartment block that I didn't have a quest for. Went in there and tranquilized both of them. And then later on, another 2 come down, and they obviously kind of picked their way past their friend's bodies and sat down on the sofa. And that was a bit, the game kind of couldn't quite deal with the fact that I'd already gone there and done that and left the bodies there if I killed them or got rid of them or some other way. But they were sat there watching TV talking about, like, oh, this thing on TV is pretty funny, while their friends are, you know, snoring behind them. And they should probably, you know, normally, if you're in a mission and you tranquilize a guard, another guard walks past, he goes, wait a minute, something's gone weird.
The kind of civilians in the hub areas don't have the guard behaviour.
Well, they might do, but the guard, because the only reason that these 2 gangbangers turned up after the first 2 was because the quest says that they should. So they might do if it was kind of a more random thing that would happen normally. But this one, it was a set thing that was supposed to happen. They were supposed to walk into the room and sit down.
It sounds like that kind of exponential craziness that game developers set themselves up for, and then
There's so many. I mean, this in terms of permutations, it's streets ahead of anything I've played in the last 10 years.
I'd much rather they did that than lock off that apartment until you get the right quest.
Yeah, definitely.
Does it feel? Because I was always sad about Bioshock in that you never got to walk around the place and just explore it. You're always kind of under attack, and it was an action game rather than an exploration RPG game. Is Deus Ex the exploration game that I wanted from Bioshock?
Yeah, I would think so. Because there's that opening mission, which is like 1.5 hours long, and it's very linear. But then after that point, you have a couple of meetings with your boss in Sarif Industries, and then they give you a mission off in Detroit, and you just walk out the front door of the building, and then you're straight into the hub. And from there, you know, there's 4 or 5 different side quests you can go off and find, or you can just start breaking
but
into apartment buildings
world,
and go talk,
like,
to people. It's very,
it's
kind of a
streets.
Linear thing. So there's like roadblocks that have been set up, and there's been a big kind of riot in the streets, so there's police around and that kind of thing. But then within that kind of linear path, you start to find all these you know, shortcuts and routes off it and stuff like that.
If it wasn't a Deus Ex game, and if I wasn't already comparing it to Deus Ex, I'd say it's exactly like Deus Ex in terms of that. It reminds me most, particularly the Troy bit, it reminds me most of the... where the bar is, where you find you meet Jock for the first time, and you
Hell's Kitchen, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's might be actually. Well, there's the robot stomping around outside.
Yeah, there's one in Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, that bit reminds me of that particularly. Okay. Just the way that the way the streets are, the way this kind of little yeah, underpass is, that kind of thing.
Because that was, yeah, okay.
It feels sense. Like there's stuff in every corner as well. Yeah. It doesn't feel like there's anywhere which is just barren. I mean, like the police station alone, you can spend 2 hours in just. Doing it in different ways, finding different bits of information, and we all did it different ways, sneaking through vents, there's 3 different floors, talking your way in, shooting your way in, hacking your way in.
I was trying to do a stealth way one playthrough, and that is super, super hard. And I finally got to the morgue, which is on the bottom floor, which is where I needed to be, and realised I had to get back out, and because I'd snuck by most people, it wasn't going to be any easier. And in fact, it was a little bit harder doing it the other way around. So I ended up having to distract the guards on this big open floor that I was having trouble getting past by taking the lift up to their floor. As soon as the doors open, just fire a gun out into the out into that floor without hitting anything. Take the lift down immediately, and then as soon as the lift got back to the morgue, bolted up the stairs to the same floor so that I'd be coming at it from a different angle while everyone's rushing over to the lift to find out what the gunshot was. So they're all just crowding around it, and I just sprinted past them. At the last minute, like a couple of people caught me and opened fire, but I was out the front door by then.
And talking about back to your exploration point as well, Tim. I think one of my favourite moments is just the fact that. When you get the first mission, it says to you there are hostages involved. And I, at this point, was poodling around the offices, the Seraph Industries offices, trying to find stuff, hacking doors, that kind of thing. Found the introduction to a quest of someone who's nicking something from one of the labs. Thought, this would be solvable now. Let's try and solve it. Went on a giant wild goose chase while Seraph was going, oi, hurry up, we've got people to save here. At the time, I was like, nothing's going to happen. It'll be fine. I can wait as long as I need to be. About 15, 20 minutes later, got a call after, you know, still trying to find the answer to this thing. A call from Seraph saying, you've waited too long, the hostages are all dead. So the first mission, I turned up and all the hostages were dead. So it wasn't me making a choice in the mission. The mission was still going on in the background. So, and when I spoke to these guys in their first playthrough as well, they were like, well, we saved the hostages and then killed them. I was like, you can save the hostages? It's not just automatic that they will die. It's not at all. It's just because I took far too long and was pissing about in the offices while I should have been saving people's lives.
Does it have some of the same kind of organisations as... the original game, like is UNAPCO in it?
Without spoiling anything, it's really, really beautifully done the way it integrates with Deus Ex's plot, because it starts out with nothing in common with it, and then kind of early on you just like glimpse like a name that's familiar on a box somewhere that you makes you realise somebody from Deus Ex is a big player in this world, and then it very, very slowly reveals, and the first time you get a really major player from Deus Ex involved in the plot of this, you're just like, oh my god, is that a guy? And then every now and then on radios in the background you'll hear like one of the original Deus Ex music bits. Like, I haven't heard the theme yet, except I think someone whistles it. But the music from UNATCO HQ and some of the Hong Kong music plays on the radios in the background. It's just so cool.
Well, one of the previews that we've already done, the one that we're allowed to talk about before, the ones on the website already, is talks about the FEMA things, and that's obviously they're a big player in obviously Deus Ex 1 as well. So you do have little moments where you go, ah, I remember that. Or in Graham's case, you go, what?
Pretty
you
much.
You've not even noticed this stuff, have you?
I know the names. I've read enough articles about the game to know what UNATCO is.
Probably the final most important question is, Graham, why haven't you played the original Deus Ex? Like, who?
Because I missed it when it first came out. I was, I guess, playing other games. And any time I've tried to go back to it since, I struggle with what Tom referred to as the dumb AI, where it's just I can't predict what they're going to do because they seem completely irrational. Sometimes I'm 10 feet in front of them and they don't notice me, but I'll be, you know, creeping up behind them and they'll suddenly just turn around and know that I'm there. And there's that slight shonkiness that just puts me off every time I try and do Liberty Island, basically. And Human Revolution, you know, solves that problem by being a modern game.
A worthy sequel?
Definitely.
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 I think we could talk for 3 hours about just a single side quest in this game.
I've got anecdotes that are burning holes in my brain. If we go how much longer, I'm just going to keep spilling out.
Okay.
There's one more thing I do want to say. If you get the double takedown orc, it's quite expensive. You have to spend 2 practice points just to get the ability to use your melee takedowns on 2 people at once, which seems like a bad deal at first. But then you actually try it, and it's the best thing in the world. One of the ones, it's a lethal takedown. I did it on 2 punks who are just kind of guarding something in a sewer. And he just... in the cuts to third person, And he just picks one of them up and throws him at the other one. Like, wait a minute, that's not lethal. And then when on the ground, he just gets out, took both his blades and stabs him in both their necks at once.
Oh,
oh my God.
Okay. The last thing I'd say is that you should do hacking, basically. You don't have to play it stealthily, but
definitely
there's
if you
just
like story.
Yeah, there's so much stuff you will miss if you don't have the hacking ability to get into computers, because every room you come across will have a computer in it, and if you hack into that, you'll get email with story details and, you know, all these, like, Seraph Industries has 3 floors worth of offices, and every floor has 4 or 5 or 6 different offices in that you can hack the door, get inside, hack the computer.
Each one belongs to a named employee.
Yeah, including. And so you find out background details about, you know, trysts and affairs that are going on, like the security codes as well for different doors around the building, that kind of thing.
I say, for me, I only got hacking level 2, which is only one step up from the kind of very basic hacking, which lets you get in a couple of doors. But I got as much story as I think I could have done, but I didn't really do much hacking. I think it helps to have hacking because you just go straight through the door.
I got
into every office on the Seraph Industry floor with level 2 hacking just by going, hacking the first door, getting the code, then going through this whole convoluted process of going to the next door, getting the code, hiding, climbing through a vent to get to their office, getting their code from there, finding a data cube on in their desk somewhere.
Do you work at this place?
Yeah. It's a good balance because it's like, you know, if you get hacking, you are rewarded for it. It's worth having it,
yeah.
But you don't feel like you absolutely have to have level 5 hacking.
There was a couple of points when I was thinking, should I just spend another point in hacking? I don't want to go down that path. I want to save something else, but I really want to do that. And then had a brainwave and thought, wait a minute, I wonder if I could just, like Tom did with shooting the thing under the grate, or talk to the man downstairs who, if you convince him enough, will give you the code to get into another door that the other door then leads to the hacking. It sounds annoying and convoluted, but it's not. It's brilliant because you feel like a genius.
Yeah, because each time you're kind of, I've just been trained by every game since Deus Ex to expect disappointment. Like every time I think, oh, that looks cool, I wonder if there's anything in there. No, there's nothing in here. It's a blank wall. Yeah. Can I open that door? No, can't go in there. Or, you know, if I try this with this, no. And Deus Ex is just the first game since then that just says, yeah, something cool happened. Look, here's another code.
It feels
here's
like
another bit of story.
Every corner has a little developer hiding behind it, winking at you when you find something. It's like he's going, you did well.
The thing about this is that I love Deus Ex. But I'm more excited for Thief, and them getting Deus Ex right says to me that Thief is going to be like super cool, super super cool.
It does give me hope for it. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll wrap up there. Thank you very much for listening, guys. There'll be more on Deus Ex on the website at pcgamer.com. thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye.
Brilliant, thank you.
Talk more.
So many quests.
Have you tried silencing the assault rifle yet?
No. That's one thing, actually, I was showing when you were away, Tom. Have you tried the bullet bend?
Bullet bend?
Yeah, there's one of the assault orbs. So you hide behind the thing with your assault rifle, tag your target with the other tagging ability, and just go up in the sky, and the bullets go... Like, they don't curve right around.
This is a weapon mod, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's an orb. It's an orb to bend bullets.
What? So they
don't,
this?
They don't kind of go like that, but they do curve enough so you can aim over a box.
Come on, everyone, back to work.
You there?